We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the Esports Biz Show. I'm your host, Justin Jacobson. This week we'll be discussing esports sales and partnerships. Just as a disclaimer, nothing here is intended as legal advice, as all the information is for educational purposes only. This week's guest is Thomas. Thomas is Director of Sales for Game Square Esports and FaZe Clan Esports. Prior to that, he was a partnership sales manager for Cloud9, as well as worked with the NHL's Detroit Red Wings, among other sports franchises. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate the invite. Honored to be here.
My pleasure. So to start with, talk about your past esports and gaming experience. You know, what was the first game you played?
When it comes to video games, like it's been in my, my blood since I was a little kid. I think there's pictures that my mom has around the house of me sitting potty training, playing Super Nintendo, the old like Donkey Kong Countries and Super Mario World. So it started back then on the Super Nintendo. I know that's like aging myself at this point as a little kid, but that was where my passion started. And I've always been, if I wasn't playing sports and on a sports field, I was in a basement playing video games with my friends or around. From a esports perspective, the first game that I really started getting into and saw the competitive lens and started focusing and watching the esports side was Halo. Back in the days with the Ogre Twins and Walshy and those legends, that scene coming up was really my first like glimpse into esports and where my fandom really started.
So you kind of have been around it for a long time, it seems.
It's always interesting to find where, guy.
Right, to see where people kind of come on the timeline, right? It's like, yeah. I started with Nintendo, but I didn't really pick up till StarCraft what was going on in the esports world. So, how'd you kind of get involved on the business side of it?
Yeah, around the time of the pandemic, I had been working in sports for 10 years, and I'm one of those people who I want to work and spend my life. We spend so much of our time working, but I want to do it in something I'm super passionate about. And I had started probably a couple years before the pandemic really hardcore getting into consuming esports, watching, going to events, obviously the Call of Duty League and everything that was going on there prior to that with the CWL was extremely of interest to me. I grew up in Alpharetta, Georgia, and we had Hi-Rez Studios there, and they had just launched a few years before that Smite. And so I started going to the Smite World Championships and being really engaged and involved in those communities. And my passion shifted from my dream had always been, I want to run a professional baseball team, to I love what's being built and what had been built in the gaming and esports side. And I saw a ton of opportunity for me to come in and do something I'm really passionate about and help continue to build up the industry and be a part of what the future of gaming and esports and that landscape looks like. And so I decided at one point during the pandemic, hey, this is the shift I want to make. I want to make my stamp and put my stamp on that industry and continue to do something I'm passionate about. And so I decided to make the jump over to gaming and esports from the traditional sports world.
Amazing. So let's talk about your current role with GameSquare. So tell us about the company. What's kind of your day-to-day like?
Yeah, so GameSquare is a collective of multiple different businesses that all have their own unique expertise in place in the gaming and esports world. So we have companies like Zoned and Code Red, which really specialize in strategy, marketing strategy, working with different talent to execute campaigns and get involved with different events across the gaming and esports system or ecosystem. We also have a full production studio and 4Frame Studios. We have a merchandise and product company called Mission Supply. We have a full media network of 140 gaming-specific websites under the GCN, Gamer Community Network umbrella that we can reach consumers with through marketing and advertising. And then we have Stream Hatchet and Sidekick, which are two of the leading data analytics platforms in gaming and esports for live stream data as well as social media. And we really just work with brands. We work with talent. We work with influencers to put on really cool events, put on marketing campaigns, and really find that cultural through lens that brands that want to come in and invest in gaming, invest in esports, invest in creators, and find that natural and organic place for them to do so and do so in an effective manner that's going to help them and going to help our industry continue to grow. And we've really placed ourselves at the intersection of how gaming is a part of culture. So gaming, sports, entertainment are all big parts of culture. So how do we reach consumers and fans of all of those industries with gaming at the center of it?
Definitely. It sounds like you have this unique synergy of you're just a full service stop where you can handle everything from the digital to the physical and, you know, really get yourself and whatever the client is in the right position.
Yeah, no, whatever aspect of the process or whatever phase of that process that brands are at in terms of how and when and where they want to place their brand within the gaming esports space, we have some sort of expert in whatever phase that is to help brands be the right partner for them.
So I think that word is the perfect, you know, transition to the kind of the more recent news for those who are out there. We know that, you know, Game Square recently purchased FaZe Clan and has more recently spun off, you know, Complexity Gaming. So tell us a little about how, you know, FaZe Clan has been integrated into the company, kind of how your job has changed.
Yeah. So when you look at FaZe Clan coming on board, along with Game Square, nothing really is changing from the brand and the brand power that is FaZe Clan, right? It's back to the roots of what FaZe is, which is the premier lifestyle gaming esports brand that people want to be a part of that has a massive following and fan base. But we're just taking that business infrastructure that it just talked about that Game Square built and just adding resources to help FaZe Clan from an operational standpoint to continue to do what they're best at, which is being the biggest, the best, most recognized gaming and esports brand. We just now have all these other business tools to support that and do really cool things. And you're going to see a lot of collaborative opportunities of what we've started to build from an event, a broadcast, a production standpoint with Game Square, and having a lot more FaZe talent and FaZe brand kind of intertwined into the experiences and the events that we're putting on, which is just really cool. It's just really cool collaborative partnership for everybody across the board. And on my end of things, it doesn't get better than being able to go in and talk to people and talk about everything that we're doing alongside FaZe Clan.
Definitely. And it's definitely one of those unique brands and probably one of these outliers in the entertainment industry that kind of transcends to the mainstream media. And I think that's a great property, you know. And obviously, what do you kind of look for when you're determining on what brands to maybe target and work for? Is there specific avenues that you look into?
Yeah, when it comes to working with brands, the way I look at it is it's a doctor-patient relationship. At the end of the day, my goal is to understand and evaluate the brand themselves. What is the brand? What is the product? How does it fit into the lives of gamers and their consumer and their target market? Who is their target market? And then find that natural through lens for how their brand should be integrated into gaming or how we can use gaming as a medium to educate people on the brand or get them to see their product in a positive light. If there is a ton of brand alignment, at the end of the day, it starts with the brand and marketing, right? If there's common goals, common synergies between a brand and what FaZe Clan offers as that premier lifestyle brand, that gaming and esports organization, then there might be opportunities to collaborate and get them involved as a partner with FaZe. Otherwise, let's look at different opportunities and really find that perfect solution for how does that brand fit into the life of gamers and what is the best way to communicate that messaging and get them involved in anything that we're doing that's fun, that's cool in gaming and esports.
So how does it kind of work? Are the deals usually more long-term or short-term? Like how are they usually structured?
It depends. It's going to be a wide range depending on the brands that we're talking to. I would say when we're looking at traditional esports partnerships, we tend to prefer the long-term opportunities. I think one of the most important things is there's a lot of fluidity right now in the landscape of esports. And the best thing a brand can do is invest in esports, right? and show your commitment to what we're building and what the future of esports looks like. So the first thing they can do is take their dollars and invest for a long time and show their commitment. So when we're talking about traditional esports, long term is good for that reason, but also we can build upon success, right? You have to first start, show your brand is there, show they're a part of the gaming and esports world, let people know you're seen, and then build upon it by doing more cool things, doing more things that really showcase, hey, your brand is not just here, but you're here for the long term. And that roadmap sometimes is 1, 2, 3, sometimes 4 and 5 years in terms of kind of walking and then running when it comes to that strategy. So longer is better, but there are also opportunities, especially with brands that are already have a place and a presence to do more short-term campaigns where you come in and you do something, not gimmicky is not the right word, but do something that's a little bit flashy and stands out and makes a short-term impact so you can capitalize on it later. There are opportunities there to do really cool things in the short term when it makes sense.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point where, you know, by showing that you're looking at this long term, that you're trying to do this more than just, hey, we're going to sponsor one tournament, and if it's great, that's great, but if not, then who cares? And I think that for consumers, you kind of see that, right? It's like all of a sudden you see this brand everywhere and then they're gone. It's like, oh, well, they were really just trying to like capitalize on us. They weren't really here for the right reasons. And, you know, it kind of backfires sometimes.
Gamers don't want to be advertised to. Young generations don't want to be advertised to. At the end of the day, the way you advertise, you support their passions. You show that you are also someone who loves gaming, and gaming is a part of what makes the people behind the brand go every single day. And so let's find where those natural through lines are for that product, that service, to fit into the lives of gamers and just support their passion. And it's going to all work out at the end. The brands are going to find that their KPIs are accomplished. They're going to find success just by investing in a passion point for them and for the consumers.
Right. So how do you kind of, when you're working with the brand, quantify the success, you know, kind of, obviously, as we mentioned, sometimes it's a longer grind, a longer burn than maybe they're used to.
Yeah. When we quantify success, there's a lot of different ways that brands look at what success is. So it's really understanding what the leadership of these companies is looking for. And that's going to vary. But the way we quantify success is we utilize a combination of art and science, right? The art side of it helps develop brands and brand equity and brand sentiment with consumers. So we're able to create really cool, fun things that grow brand sentiment. And we use data to showcase that. We partner with the likes of Nielsen. We use Stream Hatchet and Sidekick, which is our two internal resources, to really show brands, hey, by doing this campaign, people started talking about your brand. They started talking about your brand in a positive way versus previous to that. There wasn't a lot of chatter about the brand in the space, right? So we made impact, and we partnered with Nielsen and other major partners, third-party partners, to showcase that, hey, by doing this event, by being a part of this, people started to love your brand and grew that sentiment. And then we utilize Stream Hatchet and Sidekick a lot, as well as other tools to show that direct return on investment for brands through things like your traditional click-throughs and intent to purchase that came along with it. Those are more long-term. At the end of the day, for a lot of brands, you got to come in and you got to be seen, and you got to do cool things that get people excited. And you're going to see that natural brand sentiment return, which is going to lead towards sales of your product down the road. But that's really long-term. Short-term, when you're first coming into the space, just got to do cool things and get people excited.
Right. And I think that's a really, you know, great point that you bring up, and you started to see the trend of, you know, more focus on data and looking at like real data, not just the total views or your total followers, looking at, like you said, the positive sentiment, the responses, or people like, oh, I love this new Coca-Cola activation. It's so cool. You know, that is really resonating, right? People are taking your campaign to heart, and it's, you know, being well received.
Yeah. And I come from the traditional sports world, and we have hundreds of years of data. We have over 100 years of data on how traditional sports partnerships are successful for brands. And there's a precedent. It's very easy for them to come in and say, okay, hey, your outfield wall sign in a Major League Baseball stadium is getting X number of views per year on TV through the broadcast for people visiting and seeing it in person. It equals this dollar amount. Esports gaming industry is newer. We don't have 100 years of data to show that. We have a lot of case studies on brands, investors coming into the space, throwing, for lack of a better expression, a shotgun approach and seeing what sticks. Different ideas and different opportunities. A lot failed, a lot worked, and we've been able to learn from that over the past few years, put data behind it, and really started to quantify what is success and what is success for these brands and what works in gaming and esports, and start to develop that, really that structure that tends to lead towards what has been developed in traditional sports and other forms of entertainment, and actually creating a system that allows for longevity and for us to continue to grow the gaming and esports world into what everybody in it, including myself, believes that we're going to become. Because we're really just at the tip of the iceberg of this industry and how it's going to be integrated into entertainment for years to come.
Definitely. I definitely echo those sentiments. So I know where we're looking at. So are there any unique barriers to maybe working with any tournaments or leagues from, you know, the sponsorship side?
I mean, every league is going to be different, right? They all have their own partners that you can work with and that can block certain categories. Or there's certain things like the betting, and I don't even want to say it, but like the crypto world, where we saw partners coming in and certain leagues didn't want teams to work with those types of brands, but then other leagues, it's more receptive and the communities are more receptive and you can explore those opportunities. So it's just going to be case by case in terms of each publisher developer. The good news is, like, here at GameSquare and with FaZe, like, our leadership has great relationships with the publishers and the developers, the tournament organizers, to where it's a pretty uniform approach in terms of how we work with them and make sure that what we're doing from a partnership standpoint is successful for us in terms of finding partners to help us continue to invest. And at the end of the day, the publishers and developers know they can't have esports leagues without the teams like us coming in and fielding teams and fielding rosters and getting that excitement and that buzz. So it's a mutually beneficial relationship for us to work with them to make sure that we're able to find the right partners to continue to grow this industry. So it's case by case, but it's definitely something where we do a great job of working with the publishers and developers to find the right partners.
Right. Something you have to navigate. It's like, you know, you might have your CSGO jerseys and your League of Legends jerseys because you can't have the sponsor on one and the other.
Yep, exactly. That we do a lot of that, especially, like I said, with that, the betting world is very well received in Counter-Strike and in Dota 2 specifically. So, like, those are games and communities where we can get a little bit more creative with finding new opportunities and new avenues for brands to come into versus something like a Rocket League, the Super Smash Brothers and your fighting game communities. Those communities, there's no guns, there's no violence. Yeah, it's sometimes a beat 'em up versus shoot 'em up type of a situation, but brands are a lot more receptive to going into those types of games in terms of brand safety, which helps. So it's case by case, depending on what the game is, what the title is, what the brand is, where we find that, again, that natural organic through lens to tell the right story with that brand.
Nice. That makes sense. So why don't we talk about some, you know, recent partnerships, you know, that you guys worked on. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah. I mean, when we look at GameSquare and a lot of the things that we're building, it's like I told you, kind of what are those big cultural moments in traditional sports, traditional entertainment, and how do we put gamers and influencers in the spotlight and put on really cool and engaging broadcasts and events. One thing we did was this past New Year's, we partnered with our good buddy Ninja to put on Ninja's New Year's. We partnered with State Farm and Domino's to put on that event. It was a 5-hour broadcast through Ninja and his channels, basically New Year's kind of reinvention of the New Year show, right? A new cool way that the Gen Z millennials can.
So no more Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, no more Ryan Seacrest. No more no more Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve. Half the people in this industry might not even know who Dick Clark is. Good. No, they're good. They're good. But like Ninja obviously is known for his original presence in 2019 in the New Year show, right? So let's take that cultural fun moment and do something cool that people in gaming are going to love. They had everything from Uno tournaments to a Pong tournament to gaming. It was a really fun, cool event. And we were able to partner with some great brands who love this space and wanted to be involved in it and put on just a really cool event. And when we're looking at 2024, we're looking to do the same type of thing around other major culture events, from music festivals to sporting events to your traditional gaming events. It just put on really cool, fun events and broadcasts in person with that digital legs extending off of it for anybody to tune in and have fun along with us.
Amazing. Well, that's all exciting. So let's talk about some of your prior work when you were with, Cloud9. What was that like?
Yeah, Cloud9 was very similar to Complexity, and it is a brand and an organization that is really rooted in traditional esports, right? It's less on the gaming and the content side. It's an esports organization, and one of the things that their legacy was built on was that 2018 Boston CSGO major and their amazing comeback. I'm not even gonna say who it was against, because it now where I'm at now breaks my heart, but at Cloud9, there was an opportunity for them to jump back into Counter-Strike and purchase that Gambit team a couple years ago. When it comes to this world, to do things right, do things in a way that's sustainable for this industry, got to have the partner and the investor support to be able to purchase a team like that. So one of the big partnerships that I was able to help launch was a partnership to sponsor the team and make sure that we could make that that acquisition possible and get Cloud9 back into one of their legacy games in Counter-Strike. And we were able to make it happen. They won the IEM major at DreamHack Dallas in, 2023? 2022. Wow, it's been 2 years now. It feels like last year. So 2022, which was really cool to be able to get a partner, help us get back into Counter-Strike, and then win a major immediately following it, was really cool to be a part of.
Amazing. So as we mentioned, you also previously worked in the sports world, including for the Detroit Red Wings. So what kind of similarities do you see between working in the esports and the sports space?
Yeah, I mean, for me on a work sense, day-to-day, it's a very similar job, right? At the end of the day, my goal is to reach out to and find brands that love and are passionate about. In that case, it was sports and hockey and want to align their brand with it. And now it's gaming and esports. So the job itself is the same, but I would say there's a lot of nuances that differentiate the two. When it comes to traditional sports, like I said, there's 100 years of data, right? Everybody who's making decisions at these companies knows hockey, they know baseball, they know football, they know concerts. Not all of them are up to speed on gaming and esports, and the consumer is very different in terms of what's going to resonate with them. People are used to seeing billboards and signs on walls at sporting events. When it comes to gaming and esports, the generation, like I said, doesn't like to be advertised to, right? You've got to invest in their passion points and do it in a right, authentic way. And so the stories we curate, how we narrate them, how we find those through lenses for brands to integrate into it in a way that's going to be beneficial for them, is very different than traditional media and traditional sports. So that education that comes along with it in terms of talking to brands is one of the nuances that's very different. And then not having 100 years of data to show them what they're traditionally used to receiving up front to determine how this is going to be successful. It's a little bit on their end. It comes across as like, oh, there's a little bit more of a risk because you don't have 100 years of proof that this is going to be worth this, right? So it's a little bit more of an education that goes into it, which does drag the process out a little bit longer in terms of getting brands involved. But we are still continue to have a lot of really good conversations and are really active in terms of what we believe is going to be long-term success for what we're building.
So is that kind of, one of the big hurdles is taking brands from the traditional sports world into it and them just not seeing, I'm putting it on a jersey, is not putting your logo on a jersey is not the same as putting your logo on a soccer jersey, right? It's not the same quantification there.
It is the same thing, but at the same time, there's not the 100 years of data to show there the C-suite, is 100% worth it. And there's that fandom behind it because they haven't seen it for as long. So it's over time, it's going to continue to be more mainstream. There's going to continue to be that investment. And especially as we continue to really right size what the esports landscape looks like in terms of making sure that we're all committed to this long term, like we are, the narrative is going to start to shift and start to change. And we're going to be able to continue to develop that that case study that, yeah, this is worth the same as putting your jersey on soccer logo. We're getting just as much engagement. There's just as much brand sentiment, and they're going to start to see that now.
Right. So Nielsen and everyone else, we need some data here so that these brands know that we're not just making up stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's kind of shift a little. I'm talking about complexity stars, kind of what is that, and you know, what's the future of that given the, you know, the recent sale?
Yeah, Complexity Stars was a collective of professional athletes, musicians, people across different aspects of entertainment and culture that are passionate about gaming. And gaming is a huge part of their lives, and they wanted to come together and do really cool things with us. And so they joined under Complexity Stars. I can't really say what's happening with the program, but I can tell you from a Game Square and a Phase side of things, like we continue to work with all influencers, athletes who are passionate about gaming. We find opportunities to fit them into the events we're doing where it makes sense. So we're continuing to work with a lot of the same talent that was a part of Complexity Stars as we build out really cool events that bring sports and gaming or music and gaming events to life.
Amazing. Well, someone who sits in those intersections, I always love to kind of see those.
It's my passion point. Sports and gaming and music fuels my life. Like if I'm not... When I'm at the gym or when I'm just hanging out, I've always got music playing. So any way we can kind of integrate all three of those cross sections of culture, we love it.
Right. That's why my background, we got the sports, the music and the art. We kind of bring all my worlds together and, you know, we got the gaming in the middle.
Love it.
So what advice do you have for esports teams that are maybe looking for brand partnerships and, you know, how to approach it?
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to creating success, right? At the end of the day, we're in this industry because we're all passionate about it, right? We are getting into esports and starting new orgs and have existing orgs and want to find partners to help us make these things continue to go on forever. So looking at what are those passion points for the brand? What is the actual brand and how is it perceived? And by brand, I mean the esports team brand. How is it perceived in the marketplace? What is that actual footprint for the brand and who are the fans of that brand? And how do we find those connective tissue that aligns with the goals, the objectives, and the core values of the brands themselves? And finding those right partners. Because if you find the right partner that aligns with your core values and your core brand, it's going to be a lot easier to create success. It's not going to be a forced campaign. I think a lot of times, especially as this industry has grown from its infancies to now, there was a lot of money coming to the space. People just took it and they did the best they could with it. And sometimes the alignment was not there and it was obvious that it was not there and the campaigns failed, right? Sometimes the money might seem right, but if the brand is not the right fit, it's not going to lead to that long-term success. That brand's brand needs to resonate with your fans and be something that they're going to continue to want to partner with you. They're going to continue to want to do things to support those fans because the fans support them and they see that common goal and that common alignment. And that'll lead to those long-term relationships that we talked about at the beginning that we want to make sure happen.
Right. And I think that's why it's kind of like W is a partnership, right? It's like you want this thing where you work well together, you complement each other, and then it works, right?
Correct. I've never used the word sponsorship. I do not like that word. That's just something about me. Don't use that word.
Or endorsement.
It's not an endorsement. It's not a sponsorship. It's a true partnership. That's what's going to be successful. And if you look at it from a partner lens, like we are partners in this endeavor together, that's how this industry is going to continue to grow and be successful.
I agree. So what tips do you have for maybe brands that are looking to work with orgs kind of from the other side?
Yeah, it's literally the same exact thing. Is like, understand your brand and understand the brand that you're looking to partner with, and make sure that when you find those opportunities to invest in esports and partner with teams and partner with influencers, the more authentic it can be, the more authentic that connective tissue is between the brands or the passion for the influencer in that specific product, it's going to come across natural. You don't want to force it. You don't want to force it just because, oh, this is a cool influencer we want to partner with, but they don't necessarily like the brand, right? Then it's going to come across forced. People are going to see through that, and it's not going to bode well for anybody, even the influencer who's taken a really cool opportunity. But if it's seen through the consumer, it's short term and then it's gone and it doesn't work for anybody for the long run. So look for those authentic connective tissue between your brand and the consumers and the influencers or the organizations from an esports and gaming perspective that can help bridge that gap and communicate in an authentic way.
Right. Don't believe all the data you see, but some data is good.
Data is good. Data can help show that connective tissue is there, right? You can use data to justify the mix of the art and the science, the art behind what we're communicating and the stories we're telling.
I mean, so what advice do you have for anyone looking to try to work in the esports and gaming space?
One of my good friends in the industry has said this before, that esports is not the place to start a career. It's a very difficult industry to jump into. And the reason I say that is a lot of us from a gaming and esports perspective wear a lot of hats. You have to have a lot of experience because we operate, it's an up and coming industry. So we operate a lot of startups, right? A lot of us are doing grinding, working above and beyond, and you have to have a lot of experience doing a lot of different things and wearing a lot of different hats to be successful in this space. So there's a ton of different experiences in other industries that lend itself well to what we do in the gaming and esports world. So if you're trying to get your foot in the door for the first time and you're just out of college or just out of high school and you're looking to jump in to the gaming and esports space, just get experience in any field that aligns with your goals and objectives. If it's something publisher and developer related, like do publisher and developer stuff on the side as a passion project, but then work in a creative art design studio related to some other field and get that experience. And that'll all translate into an opportunity when that opportunity comes. Because we've had a lot of obviously layoffs. So there's a lot of great people in this industry looking for opportunities who have 10, 20 years experience. So wherever you can find experience, whether it's in the gaming and esports space or in a adjacent entertainment space, is great. And then if an opportunity presents itself to transition over to the gaming side, then that's great. But the more experience you have in a similar type of a field, the better.
Right. I think that's a good kind of advice and kind of realists, right? You know, yeah. There's thousands of people getting fired from all these companies and, you know, to believe that, oh, I'm just going to magically get a job just cause it's like all these other people that had a job, like they're your competitors too. Mm-hmm.
You got some of the most experienced people in this industry who've worked for major publishers, major esports orgs out there as potential candidates. So where you can get experience, where you can be invested in the communities. I think that's another thing is like, you want to be a part of a certain community within gaming and esports, show up, show your face, be a part of it, be a recognized face and member of that community. Because everything we do needs to be, again, authentic, right? You need to be authentically passionate about, say, Valorant, League of Legends to be able to do and speak the language and be a part of those communities from a business operational standpoint. So if you're passionate about it and that's where you want to be, show up, be a part of it, whether it's the digital online community or the in-person community, whatever you can do to be a part of it and be seen and be a trusted person who understands the ecosystem, the better. So whether it's physical experience or experience just being a part of the communities, all of that helps get you your foot in the door within gaming and esports.
Absolutely. So kind of bring this towards the end. What's your favorite part about working in the esports business?
Like I said, it's a passion, right? I get to work in something that I'm really passionate about. And I think we're still at the infancy of what this industry is going to become long term. There's a real shift right now going on in terms of how gaming and esports is creating that sustainable long term future. And being able to come to work every single day and put my own stamp, no matter how small it is, on what the future of this industry looks like is really cool, really exciting to be a part of. Not that I didn't feel that in traditional sports. Traditional sports is fun, but it's been around for 100+ years, right? You ain't changing it too much. So being able to come in and do cool things that gets other people who are mutually passionate about this space excited, that's what I love the most. And be able to do it with a lot of really like-minded individuals and people who come from different backgrounds who have a similar passion point, like just being able to cross and meet all these new amazing people and make a ton of new friends across the world as we go to events and put on experiences, like that's what we do it for. It's all about the memories we make and being able to do that through my career, couldn't ask for anything more.
Amazing. Well, it definitely sounds like you're enjoying it. So kind of what's the future for, you know, FaZe Clan and GameSquare?
It's just happening right now. So we've been going full speed ahead with making sure that we're crossing the T's, dotting the I's and setting everybody up for success, not just us from a business perspective, but all of our talent, all of our influencers, all of our teams and players. And we want to make sure that, that we set up the future for success. We've got a lot of really cool, like I said, broadcasts, events, productions, campaigns with partners that are coming up in 2024 that keep your eyes out on the news articles and some of our friends from a media standpoint on what we end up getting off the ground here in 2024. But we're really excited about what these events are gonna bring and how we're able to continue to use gaming as a fun way to cross over between all different aspects of life and cultures.
Right. So as the kids say, phase up. And, you know, I like to kind of end my each episode with my three questions. So what's your favorite game to watch?
Oh, it's still Halo for me. That's my roots. That's what I first started watching. And there's just something that just gets my competitive juices, like I'm playing a sport or playing ranked, going just watching. And I'm gonna be there at the Arlington Major here in a couple weeks. So if you're around, don't be shy, say hi. I'll be floating around. But it's always fun to be a part of that community, and the passion in that community is great. And so I love watching Halo.
What's your favorite game to play?
I'm one of those people. I play so many different games. I would say Rocket League is probably the most fun for me. It's so repeatable. It's a blend of sports and gaming, which are two of my passions. Soccer is one of my favorite sports. So it's like a blend of the two, and the games are quick and repeatable, and it's a lot of fun for me.
Amazing. So who's your favorite video game character?
See, that's a tough one, man. Putting me on the spot here. I don't even know if I have an answer to that question. I grew up loving JRPGs. So like that's my history, is in that JRPG world. And one of my favorite games of all time is Chrono Trigger. So I would lead towards like Frog/Glenn from the Chrono Trigger, Chrono Cross games back in the day is like my favorite character. I don't know why. There's just something that's like sentimental for me thinking back to those games and really how revolutionary that game was in terms of multiple endings and how that's transcended RPGs to this day. So I always think back to those days and just get that sentimental attachment there, which is, I'm sure, probably very unique for a lot of people you talk to in terms of talking about that level of a nerdy game. Like
that's Chrono
Trigger.
First time I've heard that answer. You know, we usually go on the Mario Luigi kind of vibe, but
no, you know,
I'm with it.
Hey, if you don't know JRPGs, you don't know those classics like Chrono Trigger, go check it out. It's definitely an amazing game.
Well, this was so great. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell everybody where they can learn what, you know, FaZe and GameScore is working on.
Yeah, I mean, stay tuned to all of the traditional social channels, obviously FaZe Clan channels, FaZe Esports, those channels, GameScore social media channels, and then stay tuned to all your traditional esports media outlets, media influencers, things like that, just to see everything come to life. But yeah, we're excited to see how 2024 plays for everybody.
Well, I know that the esports community is, you know, very thankful and excited to see how this all plays out. And, you know, thanks to everybody for tuning in. And make sure to follow me on Twitter, JustinJESQ. Check Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube for all our past episodes.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.